side is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome. TGIAF. TGIAF. Thank God it's almost Friday. All right. So I guess we've got, what's happening this weekend in Chicago?
It's the air show.
That's this weekend. Right?
Yeah, you can hear. I'm assuming because I hear the jets and all that.
I thought it was next week.
I saw them drive, and when I was driving here, I could see a couple of those blue jets flying around.
Yeah.
I forgot it was the air show, but I knew something was special when those guys are in the air.
Right, mm-hmm. That's right. Happens every time this year. In fact, I believe it's the Blue Angels are going to be here. They've been.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
They've been gone for a while, for the last several years, huh?
I don't know. I don't really follow those guys too much, but I remember hearing about it and also, you know, seeing advertisements on the highway and things like that. But, yeah, I forget how long it's been since they've been around here.
A few years, I think, seems to me.
A couple of years.
They stopped it. Was it last year or the year before?
Well, because of the government shutdown or something like that?
Oh, that's right.
It was all political.
Because I remember when I was a little girl, we used to go watch them.
You're still a little girl.
Yeah, well, I stopped growing when I was in seven years old.
Seventh grade.
I was going to say second grade. But, Father, it was so funny because yesterday.
What was so funny?
Yesterday, I was thinking, I wonder when they're going to have the air show.
I was thinking the same thing because I thought it's getting to be that time of year.
Yes, yes.
I'm so messed up. I thought it was the next week. But I did see them today, and I'm thinking, well, it couldn't be like 2 weeks.
Yeah, normally I think it's later. It seems to me it might be. But I think, you know, the kids are going back to school earlier these days for some reason. I don't know why, you know, but they are.
Parents are happy.
They are. But I tell you, you know, I had a meeting with our DRE, Director of Religious Ed, which was a good meeting. She's great. She's the best. And Josefina Contreras, she's the best. I mean, she's old school. I like that, you know, very strict and firm and deeply religious, deeply deep faith. But
she has that wisdom.
She has a wisdom. That's the thing. She's very refined, very wise, refined, a lot of wisdom. Mm-hmm. But but it just made me think, gosh, summer is gone.
Almost over.
I had a flashback when you said about the kids going back to school. Weren't we just talking about them finally getting out?
Exactly, yes.
And now they're going back.
Yes,
so
we were exactly saying, wow, summer's finally here, you know, and it's, we've got a couple more weeks.
They had the summer school too, so some of them didn't really have a vacation.
But when they start when? Next
they start
week?
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks.
In
a week, the week after.
A week and a half, someone.
Wow. Because this is already, tomorrow's a feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And today is the feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And I forgot to bring, I got this. We'll have to talk about that a little bit too. So, and the Pope is in
Korea.
So we'll talk a little bit about that. What did you guys talk about yesterday? Father Coyes was here.
Father Coyes, about the Robin Williams.
What did you?
Go ahead, Tony.
Just talking about his life and how, you know, he's had struggles.
Yeah. Did you talk about suicide at all?
He did. A little bit. In the Catholic way, you know, how the faith helps us to fight the good fight, you know, not to give up.
Right.
Because it is hard. Many of us, I myself have gone through depression and it's not easy. But what really helped me was God and the faith.
Sure.
I don't know where I would be without him.
Sure. I mean, there is a... Yeah, we'll just talk a little bit about this because I've been listening. There's a lot of things have been said. Nobody really knows. I mean,
it's just as sad that the way people are, you know, you're going over someone's life, but you're not thinking about the demons that he
sure,
had. Sure, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And he was far away from the church, so he didn't have that.
Yeah. The demons, you know, the demons. We all wrestle with our demons to varying degrees at different times in our in our life journey. I think it's just part of the journey of life. I find the Psalms to be most telling, most consoling as well, because the Psalms contain everything, you know, the ups and the downs and the peaks and the valleys and the light and the dark and the victory and the defeat, or the defeat and the victories and all that. I mean, life is it's an adventure. Mm-hmm. It's a journey. And now there is, you know, when you get into the clinical depression and all that, I don't know what really what the issues
are. And there's many factors, because it could be chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It could also be certain life situations that bring you down.
Right.
Everybody goes through this on a daily basis.
It's true. So I was reading this morning, a man goes to a doctor. It was given as a joke. Excuse me. A man goes to a doctor, and he says he's depressed.
Mm-hmm.
He says life seems harsh and cruel.
Mm-hmm.
He says he feels all alone and in a threatening world, and where what lies ahead is vague and uncertain. And so the doctor says, "Hey, listen," he said, "the treatment is simple." He said, "There's a great clown, Pagliacci, is in town tonight. Go and see him. That should pick you up." And the man burst into tears. He says, but doctor, I am Pagliacci."
Wow.
There's something.
Wow.
Wow.
Something. Really, you know, it just...
sort of sounds like Robin Williams, because he made so many people laugh in the movie.
Yeah. I was reading about him that his fragility and his meekness... He was very fragile,
mm-hmm.
meek, and there was this humility. And I talked to somebody actually who knows him, who knew him quite well. I mean, when I say quite well, they were neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and mentioned, you know, that he's just a kind man. But as this article I was reading says, hidden behind his beard and kindness was and the compliments was a kind of awkwardness. Like he was in the wrong context or element, a fallen bird on a hard floor, you know, that nobody could see it, but he knew it, you know, within himself, perhaps. But there was something in that he just couldn't seem to reconcile with. Mm-hmm. And what was it? I thought it was interesting. So when someone gets to 63, I imagine, this is in this little commentary, I imagined, hoped, I suppose, that maturity would grant an immunity to adolescent notions of suicide, but today I read that suicide isn't exclusively a young man's game. Robin Williams, at 63, still hadn't come to terms with being Robin Williams, mm-hmm. being Robin Williams. But anyway.
Yeah, like the other day, Tony, you had mentioned that even in the you would see him in the movies and he's laughing and making people laugh, but inside, deep inside, you could see it.
Sure.
In his eyes, there was this deep sadness.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, my favorite movie was, because to be honest, his humor didn't catch me that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, Good Will Hunting. Is that it?
Yes, yes.
Why are you laughing?
No, because I was trying to remember the movie and I couldn't, and I mixed it up with another one. I said, Dead Man.
That's
why we were laughing. Dead Man Walking was another movie, and I mixed them up. I said Dead Man Hunt.
We were talking about Robin Williams movies.
Yeah. So this was yesterday on the radio? Yeah. Anyway, but you saw that. Good Will.
No, it's a good movie.
Yeah,
yes.
It's good. Good.
Mine was Mrs. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Right. Doubtfire. He was supposed to make another one, I guess, or it was in the process.
Yes.
Yeah. But he had said, this was in this commentary there, it says, when Robin was asked by a German journalist on a press junket why the Germans had a reputation for being humorless,
mm-hmm.
Robin replied, saying, because you killed all the funny people. I mean, it's really not funny, but the point is...
That's the kind of humor.
Yeah, that was the kind of humor he had.
And he was making it was kind of a philosophical thing, mm-hmm. Maybe a philosophical statement, but I do want to say, you know, This thing about suicide, because that's a horrible tragedy,
yes.
And it's extremely difficult for those who are left behind. And I, you know, what brings a person to that kind of darkness that they can't see beyond themselves to the great darkness it's going to bring into the lives of others, especially members of the family. And having dealt with, certainly over the course of my priesthood, you know, a number of suicide cases, it's just a horrific way for the family to have to deal with the aftermath. And then it seems to me it creates within the lives of members of the family, because there's, you know, where there's this, you know, is this how I'm going to end up as well, you know? I did a, very interesting, before I went to the seminary, I did a study. We were assigned these topics when I was in the first year of college, and my topic was suicide. So I had to do a term paper on suicide. Now, this was back in the early mid-1970s. It's probably 1975. And so at that time, at that time I found in the study that I did, Catholics had the least amount of suicides of all religions. Oh. And the reason for that, the reasons given were not because it was, I mean, partially perhaps because it was considered, it still is considered a grave sin, a mortal sin, but it was because at that time, too, Catholics took advantage of the confessional. Mm-hmm. And the confessional, the fact that Catholics had the least amount of suicides, I'm certain that's changed at this point, but was attributed to the fact that they had a means by which they could unburden themselves of the stuff that was really, you know, those demons deep in the recesses of the soul. So I thought that was interesting. You know, I thought that was interesting. But I just want to give you a little bit of a what did Father talk about what the Church actually teaches about suicide? I mean, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church?
No.
Let me just share some of this, because I think it's important, because there's so much, and somehow, sad to say, but it seems that it can easily be, it can be glorified, glamorized, or, you know, that, well, if he can do it, I can do it, and, you know, just kind of tune out or get off this planet, you know, or
there's
not
no
have to
other
face
way out.
No other way out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, you know, to say that it's mortally sinful, that it's a grave sin, and why we teach, and at the same time, because of grave, you know, psychological disturbances or the anguish or a grave fear of hardship, suffering, torture, can diminish the responsibility of one committing
how much
suicide.
Percentage so we, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not, but objectively speaking, from a purely objective point of view, it certainly is grave. It's mortally sinful. Mm-hmm. It's grave matter. The Church is never going to make judgment on anybody, although there was a time when the Church wouldn't offer a burial. Did Father talk about that?
No.
But this is before, you know, before psychology really, is the study of psychology helped us understand the inner workings of the psyche and all that. But, and it was not so much a condemnation of the person, but it was to safeguard for others. You know, there's a need to safeguard a truth and to call people, as we always say, to a higher standard, and to maintain sensitivity to these things, you know, so that we don't just so easily, you know, in a time of darkness or in a time of severe depression or whatever it is, that, you know, whatever hardship people are going through, that it becomes an option, an easy option.
And that's where it's important that we, again, how we say that we need each other to support each other and to let people that are going through this darkness, that they're loved and that they're not alone.
Yeah, by the way, a good point, and because the thing, and this goes back to the confessional as well, that you have to hear people out. You can't wish, you know, I've heard people say this so often, and I guess we've all been there, but when somebody's going through something, really a grief or the loss of something, a dying to something or someone or whatever, People say, "Well, you gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. You gotta go. You gotta move on." And certainly, you know, but with the help of God's grace and with the help of others, as you said, but it doesn't help when, and especially in a society like ours, where everybody is supposed to be happy all the time. You know, this is we're rather superficial in that regard. So, you gotta look a certain way. You gotta be a certain way. You gotta be we don't embrace the grace that comes out of suffering, that there's a great grace. It's also about, you know, the working through one's salvation. You know, we're all working through our own salvation. And so as we understand, you know, that especially in suffering, God is very close to those who suffer. And certainly part of that suffering may be the what we call the dark night of the soul, or the walk through the desert where there's a lot of aridity, a lot of dryness, and as I so often say, we seem only to eat the dry dirt of the desert. But it's in that that the roots are going deeper and deeper and deeper. And if we just have to have the courage and the patience and the
perseverance
to kind of get through this. I think of the of an example, and maybe I've used this on the radio before, but I had a friend who the first year of college, we had gone to high school together. She was a year ahead of me, but we worked together we worked downtown together, but we went to the community college in Florida where we lived, and we would carpool. So we would, one day I'd drive, another day she would drive, and we both worked downtown. So we go to school, then we drive downtown, and then go home, right? Because she lived not too far from where I lived. And she was a year ahead of me, so she graduated from the community college and was preparing to go to Florida State University, and took a job on the beach. Now, she was a Floridian, so she knew the Gulf of Mexico. But what happened was she went out to the beach, into the, she was sunbathing, went out into the water evidently, and got caught in an undertow. And you know, those who people understand, at least down there, it's because it's so often this happens, but that when you're caught in this undertow, you got to go with it. You got to, because it's going to bring you back up. It's going to bring you back up. If you fight it, it's pulling you in one direction. You're pulling yourself in another direction, and this is what she did, and she drowned. And I think this is, I've always used that as an image for life, in the sense that when we're in difficult times, when we're in times of darkness, whatever hardship we might be suffering, we've got to just, you know, kind of go with it. You can't force it away. That's the point I'm trying to make. Is a society like us, a society like ours today, says, you know, well, you got to be happy. If you're sad, there's something wrong with you. If you're going through some darkness, there's something wrong. You're supposed to be happy. Well, we're not always happy, you know. And there's a little bit of sadness that comes into people's lives every day, it seems to me, at some point or another. So we. And if we don't give people permission, you know, give people permission to suffer what they have to suffer, and to walk them through this. Now, when we get into the clinical depression and, you know, the chemical imbalance and all that, it's a whole different thing. And I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, so I can't speak with any kind of expertise on that. But I've known people that have gone through such a thing, and it's really debilitating.
Or even when, I know everybody needs their space when a loved one passes away or whatever situation you're going through, but it's very important to always have people that surround you that can help you along the way, because when you isolate yourself, that's where the danger comes.
Your mother kind of went through that a little bit, you know, after your grandmother died, right? And we, you know, there's a gentle way of trying to bring people out of that isolation. We don't want people. We don't isolate, but we've got. But there is a place for separation. You know, you got to separate. I need my space. Yes, I need to mourn. You know, and that was kind of built into the culture at a time when, you know, there was a time when you'd wear black and. You'd stay at home and all that, and you needed to have that period of grieving. Sure. And we have to allow people that period of grieving. Sure. But then there is a point where you got to begin to say, okay, let's maybe take some baby steps, but let's kind of move
beyond that. Kind of balance it out a little bit.
Exactly, yeah. But anyway, I tell you what, we're 20 minutes into the show. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and then I'll share with you kind of briefly, but what the church actually teaches about suicide. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener support of what are you? You're listening to the listener support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change and the Pro-Life Action League. Hope you're having a great summer. We love summer ourselves. But there's a downside to summer for pro-life activists. Between vacations and preparing for the new school year, many pro-life volunteers take a break from pro-life activities at this time of year. But Planned Parenthood never takes a break from aborting babies, and they're doing it right here in our community. Make a special effort to join the Pro-Life Action League this Saturday, August 16th at 9 a.m. at Planned Parenthood in Aurora at New York Street and Oakhurst Drive. Join us. You might just be saving a life. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. It's time to bend some spaghetti around the tines of your fork, because it's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's annual spaghetti dinner. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. There'll be spaghetti with meatballs or spaghetti with plain sauce, tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, coffee and juice, and assorted pastries. And games for adults, including raffles, prizes, 50-50 cash, and pot of gold. Oh, and did I mention there'll be live music, too? Tickets are only $9 for adults, $5 for children ages 10 and under. You can get tickets at the parish office or at the door. That's the St. Stanislaus Kostka annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka School in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Bring an appetite, bring a friend. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We've been talking a little bit about, well, just life, huh? The struggles of life and in the context of the death of Robin Williams, the suicide. And sometimes, you know, we, it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, but it just, it seems as if it's the way it's communicated is if, well, it's just, it's an option. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. But it really isn't okay. And as the church teaches, everyone, all of us, each and every one of us is responsible for his life before God, who has given it to him. It is God who remains the sovereign master of life. We are obligated to accept life gratefully and preserve it for his honor and for the salvation of our souls. We are stewards, not owners, of the life God has entrusted to us. That's a very interesting concept. We are stewards, not owners, of the life God has entrusted to us. It is not ours to dispose of. And suicide contradicts the natural inclination of the human being to preserve and perpetuate his life. It is gravely contrary to the just love of self. Because remember, this is, and maybe this is one I suggest sometimes, you know, that this may be the harder thing, you know, the two great commandments, love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And maybe it's hard for many people to love themselves because, yes. And especially today, you know, I'm saying when we're up against all these images and you know, the secular society, very
superficial
pop culture, mm-hmm. you know, the interesting, you know, so you're up against these images, mm-hmm. these images constantly, men and women, and who can possibly live up to all that? Because it mm-hmm. is an illusion. Uh-huh. It's an illusion. The tragedies of the movies and all this, you've got beautiful music in the background, you mm-hmm. know, in reality, that's not the case. So everything is kind of glamorized and mm-hmm. glorified. And
like a fantasy.
It's a fantasy. It's a fantasy. It's a fantasy. Yeah. It's an illusion. And so people get caught up in that. And but they know inside themselves that they can't possibly live up. Or, as so often happens, you know, I say it's in the nature of the world to break us down, to bring us down. And so from the time we're already little children, you know, not only do you have those who are building you up, right, mm-hmm. affirming yes. who you are, bringing you to proper love of self and love of others, but that you're good and you've been loved into life and that life is good. But then there's also those forces, and it comes via other people who are themselves broken, where mm-hmm. we begin, you know, you're put down or you're diminished or your ego is deeply bruised or whatever, and then people go through life with all kinds of you know, inferiority complex or whatever. And to a certain degree, I think that's part of life. I think it's just something that we all have to work through that. But this is where we put ourselves in relation to the Lord, in relationship to God, who affirms for us who we are. You know, he's so affirming, so gentle. He's not just looking and waiting for some reason to cast us into the fires of hell or to bring us down. No, he wants to build us up. He wants to build us up, and he wants to bring us away from falsehood. Now, having said that, again, we're in a broken world. The society is broken, and so even within the human person, there is the suffering that comes to the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And we can't, you know, it's suffering is a mystery in and of itself. I mean, it's just a mystery. Thank God we have the cross that we can know that God he bears our suffering. He took sin to himself, and that we have the courage in and through Jesus to see beyond the cross into the glory and the light of the resurrection. And rather than be debilitated or further diminished by our own suffering, that somehow we find in the cross not only our salvation, but also God's empathy, God's consolation, compassion, empathy, that God has suffered, and that we will, if we just, you know, perseverance, you know, if we persevere. But in any case, something of the clinical kind of a depression, that where people need medication, mm-hmm. or it's you can't wish it away, you know. Now, in his case, from what I've read, you know, in the case of Robin Williams, it was the addiction to drugs and mm-hmm. alcohol and all that, and it just
there's effects.
There's also there's so much that can feed into the. So we've got to find a way to rise above these things, mm-hmm. but we can't leave out as the other day we were talking about the one arsenal that is so often dismissed today is that of faith, right? The faith. You know, if you have faith but the size of a mustard seed, Jesus says it can move a mountain. Because we shouldn't be afraid. It takes a great humility on the part of the human person to submit, to surrender mm-hmm. Faith in God, right? To have faith in God. But in any case, suicide offends love of neighbor because it unjustly breaks the ties of solidarity with the family, the nation, and other human societies to which we continue to have obligations. Life is about obligation and responsibility. I don't know that we think of it in such a way. So suicide is contrary to love for the living God. Anyway, so basically that's what the church teaches, that we should not despair of the eternal salvation of persons who have taken their own lives by ways known to him alone, to God alone. God can provide the opportunity for salutary repentance. So the church always prays for persons who have taken their own lives. And as I said, grave psychological disturbances, anguish, grave fear of hardship, suffering, torture can diminish the responsibility of one committing suicide. But objectively speaking, it is and remains a grave sin, a mortal sin. Mm-hmm. And life is a challenge. It's a challenge we all have to take up. Yeah, it's not about, you know, just being happy. It's not about eat, drink, and be merry. It's deeper. Mm-hmm. It's the work of life, as you were saying. We have to help each other through this life. And boy, I tell you, go to the Psalms. Just read the Psalms. You know, it's all there. Everything is there. It's very beautiful. So anyway, any comments you guys have? I just wanted to.
You know, even like when you were mentioning about the superficiality of, especially like. With young women, when they see these models or these singers and they're up there singing, or even in the magazines, it's on an illusion. I saw this video of there goes the airplane.
Can you hear that?
The jets. Of these singers and models, and they came out with their makeup. They looked beautiful. They were glamorous. But then the song was beautiful because it said, God created you beautiful, mm-hmm. no matter what you're. And so in the video, they show them first with the makeup and the hair. Some of them were wearing extensions, so the hair looked more full. And in the video, they took off the makeup, and it was a complete change. It was very, one, I guess, I don't know if it was a woman suffering from cancer. She took off the wig, and she didn't have hair. Wow. But it was just so, interesting. And it's
see
like
the difference.
Yes, a big difference to see that there are people that nobody looks. What matters is what's in the inside.
Sure.
The beauty that God created us with, and He doesn't make mistakes, and everything that He creates is beautiful.
But see, that's the culture we live in. This is what's really, I think, a bit frightening about the pop culture that we're so influenced, so we're so swept into, caught, you know, just seduced into the seduction, this deception, the illusion. And we get sucked into it because it I mean, Jesus, when Princess Diana died, you know, I was thinking about the grief, you know, just unbelievable grief from all over the world. And I thought it was, can I say it was, it seemed to me it was a bit over the top. I thought there's something what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And then that Mother Teresa would die in the shadow of Diana's death, and because you know Princess Diana was kind of canonized as in her death. You know, she all of a sudden became this. And I'm not saying that she wasn't a good person, charitable, and all that, but she had her demons as well. And I mean, that came out too. She was she had all kinds of things that she was struggling with, but people couldn't see beyond the what was there on the surface, you know. And so then all of a sudden you have the saint who dies, Mother Teresa. This is, I remember watching, we were watching the noon hour news, and I forgot who it was, Peter Jennings or somebody came on. It was a news break that Mother Teresa has died, and it was kind of like, well, what do we do now? Because the whole world is so deeply immersed in the grief over the death of Princess Diana and having, you know, basically canonized her. And now the saint, world-renowned saint, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, has died. But God has a wonderful way of trying to put things back into perspective for all of us. But I thought about Princess Diana, that people were vicariously grieving, you know, the very things we maybe subconsciously we lust after, the beauty and the fame and the riches and the power, and she had it all, and youth, all that.
Yet she was so lonely.
Well, that's
she
the thing,
felt like,
you know,
she was like a prisoner in her own.
Yeah, the fairy tale just kind of came to an end. Didn't
that's
it?
Right.
But and it had a long time before her death, really.
Yes.
But
yes.
Anyway, so however that's related to.
And even that's where, even like, again, with the image, I don't know if she did or someone in her family, was it Fergie? One of them was suffering from anorexia.
Fergie, you're right.
Anorexia. Yeah. Where, again, there's this image. This is certain image that you want to emulate it, and that's not real. It's all an illusion.
Well, you know, the fact is that suicide has skyrocketed over the last couple of decades. I don't have the statistics here, but I was reading about that as well. I think we've talked about this before, but it's skyrocketed. Something is amiss. Something is not a right in society. And again, I think it goes back to the fact that we've got to live in reality. Mm-hmm. And reality is, you know, is it a negative to say that, you know, as we pray in the Salve Regina, what we say, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope, to thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. There is an element of exile. Mm-hmm. In the life journey, there is this valley of tears. There's no getting around it. There's no escaping it. And but keep the faith, and I tell you, we properly enter into the celebration, or we call it the cult of worship, the celebration of the Mass, the highest, the enter into those sacred mysteries. But what do? We bring our lives. We bring to the Lord everything about us and everything in the world. We offer it all. So that we basically, what we do is we enter into that sacrifice with Jesus, through Jesus to the Father, so that we can have taken up into the Father's house, or into the kingdom, you know, all the brokenness and the rough edges and the sins and the weakness and the all this. Anything that really is an impediment, anything that is a barrier to our true freedom in God, our true freedom in God, knowing that as Jesus says, you're going to follow me, you got to pick up your cross and follow, because he says, again, we keep repeating this here, but you know, the Lord said this the night before. He says, you're going to have trouble in this world. It's not going to be easy. I can't promise you it's going to be easy. It won't be easy. Pick up your cross and follow. But it's being able to see the cross and to see beyond the cross into the glory and the light of the resurrection, and that all things will end well. We don't have to bring an end to this, you know, in order to liberate ourselves from the sufferings of this life. We've got to bear these sufferings and help each other along the way, but know that it will end well, that this is, we've got something to look to. You know, we peer into eternity. Because you think about the people who make unbelievable sacrifices. I think of, who was it? Superman. Who was it?
Christopher Reeves.
Christopher Reeves. I always think of that. The heroism, can you say it, on the part of, after he'd had that accident, mm-hmm. and he was left a paraplegic, I think, and his wife, didn't she stood beside him?
Yes.
To the end. I mean, we've got to look at these. This is all around us, mm-hmm. you know, and God is revealing so much to the sufferings of others that, wow. Or like you said, Tony, you said the other day, didn't you, about one of the things that God that in your own life, your own prayer, is being that the Lord allows you when you feel down. What go ahead?
It puts people in front of me who have problems.
And yeah,
it almost it makes me feel like Tony. Hey, it's nothing. Look, and the thing about that, it's not only that here's somebody suffering more than you, but it gives me that opportunity to help.
Right.
That's one of the things in the years that I have. It is. I know when he's there in these kind of situations.
What was it? There's the old saying that I complained I had no shoes until I saw someone who had no feet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, but really, you know, the great courage that many people, how they live their lives, and that there can be such joy and purpose and meaning to suffering. You know, I think the key in life is to, I mean, there's many mm-hmm. keys in life, I guess, but to find meaning in life, and much of that comes, I mean, wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wisdom mm-hmm. comes through what we were just talking about, our DRE, you know, wisdom and refined. All that comes with the years of life, you know, that you weather the storms and you fight the good fight and you win some, you lose some. You get beaten down, you mm-hmm. pick yourself up, you know. And nobody does it alone. We need each other. You're absolutely right.
And people have different experiences. That's why, I mean, I'm very often around people that want to do things themselves. They don't want the help sometimes. You have to break that barrier. What I've always learned in listening and talking to people is, yes, they have experience. Some people have experience. That's why I love being around older people.
Sure.
I mean, I will sit there and you hear the stories like, you know, what their lives were, what they've gone through, their experiences, and you learn from them.
Right.
You take the good from, you know, things mm-hmm. of people, and you leave the bad. But it's just, it's the wisdom, respect the wisdom, respect the experience.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, it's amazing, and I guess we all know this, but I over the years, and I've, being a priest, you come close to so much a tragedy, and so often I say that, she's not going to survive. He's not going to survive. How could you possibly survive something like this? And yet, inevitably, people always survive, you know, for the most part. And
like the other day that Tony was saying, that God gives you the grace. And sometimes you think, or when you're going through a certain situation, and you think, why me? Or at that moment, you don't understand.
Right.
And you ask God, why me? Why did I have to go through this? And as you kind of weather the storm and you persevere, and then you look back, there's a reason for everything.
Sure.
It just doesn't happen just because. And it connects all of us. So if I go through a certain thing, then somebody else is going through the same thing. Ah,
sure.
Well, I went through this because I'm able to help them.
Sure.
And so we all go through different experiences so that we could help one another.
I mean, really, you know, you think about the stories we read, you know, what most inspires us are stories where people have been able to share their own journey, their own sufferings. You know, I was thinking of Colleen, the mother who lost her five children in a fire, and her husband. She lost everything, all her memories, her house, all her possessions, her five children, her husband, everybody. And that was, and also Marianne, she and her children. I mean, that whole family, and yet they survive.
They survive. Mm-hmm.
They survive. And even, you know, we're not defeated in death because those children, let's say in the case of Colleen, you know, her five children, they're still her children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world takes it all away, God gives it back. And it's being able to live with that hope and that anticipation, the anticipation. I remember speaking to a woman, Sharon, her daughter Melissa, had died in a car accident. She was just 16 years old, had just gotten her driver's license. And anyway, it was a very, very sad situation. And years later, I mean, the family went through unbelievable grief, as you can imagine. But years later, I remember Sharon was going into surgery. She had major surgery. And she was so at peace because she thought, whatever happens, she said, either I'm going to wake up and I'm going to see Melissa, or I'll wake up and see my husband and my other daughter, you know, get the point, you know. So anyway, so the miracle of life is that we survive, you know, and we must reckon. Mm-hmm. What was it that the church said, that we're stewards.
Uh-huh.
We're stewards of our lives and the lives of others. We're not the owners. God is the owner. So anyway, let's carry each other through. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And, the Pope is in Korea. Mm-hmm. So I'll say something about that. Okay, I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Portal Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Christ gave Sister Faustina Kowalska the gift of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and pray with us. Visit sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org for the complete schedule of Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and the recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, corner of Evergreen and Noble. That's two blocks north of Division on Evergreen, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, right? It's a Thursday. So nice autumn kind of a day in Chicago. Another one of the, we've had
beautiful,
unbelievable
beautiful
summer. We've only got about a month. About a month left. So we just wonder if we can keep it going this way, you know. So
stays like
not
this.
That we can keep it going this way. I mean, that's not, we have nothing to do with it. We just thank God that it's been so comfortable, so comfortable. So I think there's only been like 2 days above 90s, I believe.
And that's it.
So that's all. Anyway, so the Holy Father is in Korea, in South Korea. So I'm reading some very interesting things. Now, while he's there, he's going to beatify 124 Korean martyrs. Only one priest, by the way, all are lay people, only one priest. He's also going to celebrate the 6th Asian Youth Day, which is a gathering of Asian Catholic youth from all over Asia. And he'll hold a Mass, a Holy Mass for Peace and Reconciliation. and aimed at prayers for peace, especially and including, and especially North and South and North North Korean relations. A message of simplicity is what he brings to Korea. It's what's interesting is the how the church is growing in Asia, and in a very specific, the church is as a minority throughout Asia, with the exception of the Philippines. In the Philippines, it's one of the most Catholic nations of the world. In fact, he's going to be there in January, I believe. He's going to Sri Lanka and to the Philippines. I believe the largest gathering ever of people was when Pope John Paul II was in Manila in the Philippines. It was something like 5 million people that gathered all at one time. So, I mean, in one place at one time. I read somewhere that was the largest gathering of people in ever known. That's what I read. So, but the in any case, the church has grown at a rate of 70% just in the last 10 years. So 10.4% of South Koreans are Catholic. Most are Buddhist and Protestant. But the church is growing leaps and bounds. In any case, I just a few things. And what he wants to do is he certainly wants to inspire the church and really call them into the evangelization and all that. But, you know, when I was in New York City last week, I was in Chinatown, and I used to eat in Chinatown when I worked there. I used to always go to, on Sundays, I'd go into Chinatown from Brooklyn, and from there I'd catch the ferry boat to Staten Island to go to Mass. And I went back to Chinatown. It's a bit depressed, you know, and kind of looks kind of poor and
run down a little bit.
But I was thinking, you know, when I was in Chinatown, what a contrast. You know, I wonder if sometimes people have this image of Asia as, you know, or China or Korea, but South Korea is just like a Chinatown, you know. Mm-hmm. It's and yet, you know, when you consider that these countries are well advanced. I mean, they're. I keep thinking of the pilgrims or the tourists in Rome. In the last several years, most of them have been Chinese, and in many ways, you know, they would put us to shame. Just the manner in which they carried themselves and how they dressed and the respect and all that. It was just it's quite interesting. So I was reading today a little bit about the Koreans, South Koreans. And it's a very small country. It ranks 109th in the world, and right behind Iceland. So we think of Iceland as a little tiny country. But it's amazing I'll just give you some examples. It's a wired culture, okay? So 82.7% internet penetration. 78.5% of the entire population is on smartphones, right? Yeah. And those between the ages of 18 and 24, 97.7% wow. of the South Koreans mm-hmm. are on smartphone, or they call it smartphone penetration, right? Interesting, too, the South Koreans became the world's top users of credit cards 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine? Americans made 77.9 credit card transactions per person in 2011. Canadians made 89.6. South Koreans made 129.7
Whoa.
Credit card transactions in 2011. They're also workaholics. Mm. The country has the highest education level in Organization for Economic Cooperation Developmental countries, with 98% of the population completing secondary education, 63% with a college education. They're just workaholics. It translates into their work, and they work on an average of 44.6 hours a week. Mm. They're what they call business boozing. You know, they drown their sorrows in, is it called soju? I don't know, soju, S-O-J-U. But they're heavy drinkers, and they're trying to curb the working drinking culture. But it's part of the work, you know. They work and then they drink. just reading this. There, this, the world's best-selling liquor last year for the 11th year in a row is a South Korean liquor. Mm. It's called Jinro Soju or something like that. Very interesting. Cosmetics. They use more cosmetics than just about any country. Certainly Korean men are known for undergoing plastic surgery.
Wow.
And they also, the use of skincare products and all that.
For the men?
Yeah, so South Korea is by far the largest market for men's cosmetics. Huh. With Korean men buying a quarter of the world's men's cosmetics, around $90 million a year.
Wow.
They have the best female golfers in the world. Of the top 100 female golfers in the world, 38 are Korean. Of the top 10, 4 are Korean. StarCraft. You know what StarCraft is?
No.
Is that a game?
Yeah, it is. This is a legitimate career in South Korea. StarCraft is actually a legitimate career in South Korea. So that's the gaming. Flight attendants. Did you know this? You have to tell your brother this, Christina.
Yes.
Flight attendants from airlines around the world come to Korean Airlines training centers to learn proper airborne charm.
Hmm. Yes.
You get the best flight attendants. And
I think my brother, when he went through the training, there were some Korean girls there who were training for the Korean.
Interesting.
Those who were going to fly to, because I think American does fly they fly to Asia. So there were a couple of them in there.
But they send more flight attendants go
to
Korea
there.
To be trained by the Koreans. Huh. They've got the best flight attendants in the world. Blind dates. The average, let's see, what is this? It is the top matchmaking place in the world. Korean there are 2,500 companies in the country for matchmaking. And what is it? Marriage. Anyway, 68 dates per couple in a year's time. Hmm. Blind dates. We're talking about blind dates. Yeah. Plastic surgery. I mentioned that. Did I?
For the mm-hmm.
yeah. Amen.
For the men.
Yeah, and Russians, Chinese, Mongolians, Japanese flock to South Korea on plastic surgery medical tours, not only for the skill of the surgeons, but for the good deals. So an average facelift in the United States will set you back about $10,000. In South Korea, the same service for $2,000,
$3,000.
It's a bargain. I don't know if you saw, I saw a program on Asia, the women, South Korea, China, where, you know how they have the slanted eyes and... Mm-hmm. The popular surgical procedure that they have done is the adding the crease, because they don't have a crease in their eyelid.
Oh, really?
So that's
whatever that means
to them. It's an attractive.
What's a crease?
The crease up here at the eyelid.
Okay,
they don't have that, so they
purposely surgically.
They have it. They go through the surgery.
Oh,
interesting. Anyway.
I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and I just throw these things out because I thought it's kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah,
it just gives you a little bit of a perspective on Korea. So the Holy Father is in South Korea. I think he's going to be there for about 5 days. Mm. So there was about 10,000 people protested. You know, it was a couple of the mega churches got together, Protestant, and they protested his coming to South Korea just the other day. But they're fascinated by the fact that he's driving around, or he's being chauffeured around in a Kia, in just a little car, a little tiny car, because they're also very competitive,
right.
And
they
like the show of big things and expensive things, from what I was reading here. So they've been fascinated by the Pope's simplicity, and they can't believe that he's being chauffeured around in a little Kia, you know. So anyway, let's take a final break, and we'll be back and say something about St. Maximilian Kolbe before we go off the air. So we'll be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to Listen, Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change and the Pro-Life Action League. Hope you're having a great summer. We love summer ourselves. But there's a downside to summer for pro-life activists. Between vacations and preparing for the new school year,
Many pro-life volunteers take a break from pro-life activities at this time of year. But Planned Parenthood never takes a break from aborting babies, and they're doing it right here in our community. Make a special effort to join the Pro-Life Action League this Saturday, August 16th at 9 a.m. at Planned Parenthood in Aurora at New York Street and Oakhurst Drive. Join us. You might just be saving a life. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. It's time to bend some spaghetti around the tines of your fork, because it's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's annual spaghetti dinner. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. There'll be spaghetti with meatballs or spaghetti with plain sauce, tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, coffee and juice, and assorted pastries. And games for adults, including raffles, prizes, 50-50 cash, and pot of gold. Oh, and did I mention there'll be live music, too? Tickets are only $9 for adults, $5 for children ages 10 and under. You can get tickets at the parish office or at the door. That's the St. Stanislaus Kostka annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka School in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Bring an appetite, bring a friend. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up. We're right at the end of the hour. But today is the feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who gave his life. You know, speaking of life, you know, and death, mm-hmm. and he gave himself. He gave his life for a man. He was imprisoned in the Auschwitz, mm-hmm. in the concentration camp, and as happens, they were actually being starved to death. But there was a in what they called the hunger pit. But he offered to die in place of another prison and spend his final days in what was termed the hunger pit. This is an underground bunker where Kolbe and nine other men were left to die of dehydration. And for 2 weeks, he led the other men in mass and prayers and hymns, and he stayed with each man as they left this world and went to meet God face to face. So he kind of walked them through their own passing from this life into the next. And then for 2 weeks, he endured until finally the jailers decided that this giant of a saint needed to die to make room for more victims. And so he was given a lethal injection and died on this day in 1941. I'm not sure of the exact year, but he was a tremendous saint in this. And what's interesting is he and St. Maria Faustina Kowalska and Pope John Paul II, all three great saints of this last century, but they all, unbeknown to themselves, they were in formation just a couple of miles away from each other at the same time.
And you know how all the saints are deeply the Marian.
And he was
something with a connection with the miraculous. Was there a connection?
Exactly, with the Marian consecration, Maximilian Kolbe, and the Eucharist.
Yeah.
The Immaculata.
Yeah.
He said, it's very, and we'll end here because this is the end, but he said the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. And this happens, although the praise of God should know no limits. Let us strive, therefore, to praise him to the greatest extent of our powers. In his time, saying that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Huh? Think about it today.
Today.
Anyway, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.